The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show Best Of Podcast.
And we're back. It has been a busy show. If you're just joining us, thanks for the time. And the story of the day has been Jalen Carter. We'll get back into that one in just a few minutes. He has left the NFL Combine after several warrants were put out for misdemeanor arrests involving in the tragedy on January 15th. We'll get more into that a little bit later on. Your phone calls continue here. And Brandon is up next in Arkansas. Hey, Brandon.
Hey.
Thank you for the call.
So first off, I'm going to tell you, we love you here in Arkansas, Paul.
Thank you.
And second off, woo pig suey. And then third off, I want to talk about that Alabama player needs to be held accountable for what he's done.
Okay.
And he needs to be taken off the team until they figure out what type of charges he's going to be given. And then also, I'd like you to articulate on how horrible the SEC officiating is, because it is just absolutely obscene.
Well, the only thing I want to say about officiating, we were watching the women's game earlier, and there was about a 25-minute stoppage, and I realized it was a complex play involving eight players.
Yeah.
But you cannot – you have to move games along. The officials need to understand. They are there to facilitate the game, not to be television stars, and I think sometimes they think it's about them and not about the young men on the court. One thing I want to say about Brandon Miller, it's already been said that he is not going to be charged. So I don't want anybody to get the wrong idea that charges are pending there. Brandon, thank you for the phone call. AC is up next.
Good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, people need to do some homework on that Brandon Miller guy. Instead of calling the station, wasting TV time, 2-3 minutes, this guy is not getting charged. Period. Move on. It's depressing to me last 2 weeks. You cannot possibly have same boring topic every single day, Mr. Feinbaum. Get over it. And that's number one. And number two, you have that caller's bracket, whatever it's going on. It should be a 65-man women tournament. That's the way. I mean, I know who's going to win. It's so predictable. You're going to give it to Jim from Tuscaloosa. It's obvious. Why do you put obvious things when it doesn't matter? They put Matt in San Antonio and AJ, whoever he is or she is. That makes no sense. Then you have drunk Larry. That's disgrace. Who? He stole my who? That's what I'm going to do to you, little boy. I'm going to steal your beer bottle and smash you. That's what I'm going to do. Call the show and acknowledge me as your tribal chief, homie. I gotta go. Holla.
Wherever he is staying, in whatever institution, they must limit his calls to a minute and a half, because he is always racing off the call, which is good for everyone else. John is up next in Florida. Hello, John.
Paul, thanks for having me on your show again. And I saw a segment yesterday with you and I believe Zimmerman, and the conversation was college football and rule changes again. And after hearing that segment, I got very upset, Paul, and this is the reason why.
Okay.
About 20 years ago, we went through the same thing, changing the rules of college football to shorten the game because it takes too long on TV, and they talked about when the ball goes out of bounds, you have the clock continue running. And then 20 years later, we're having this same discussion. We never had this problem back in the 60s and 70s. I don't understand why people won't actually hold accountable the people who are guilty, which is the television networks. And why are we so stupid and ignorant to think we're going to change the rules of college football, give it a running clock, and think that the game's going to be shorter? That's not going to happen, Paul. The only thing that's going to happen...
Well, John, in the 60s and 70s... there was essentially one game on a
five
week.
Five teams, I get it.
So, you could have a 2.5-hour college football game because it wasn't televised. And And I'm not here defending the networks, but the networks put billions of dollars into the coffers of these leagues, and they do want a return for that money.
Well, and that I understand, but we're degrading the game and changing it just for the sake of money. Now, you're in a very precarious position because you get paid by ESPN. So you
I do, but John, I also believe very strongly in giving my opinion, and if somebody doesn't like it, then
But this is what's going to happen. They're going to have a running
doing,
clock.
Randy, what could I find a job doing? Do you know?
After. Well, they're going to have a running clock.
Take it back. I really think ESPN is in the right here. Game should be longer. If it takes 6 hours to get the game in, I'm good with that after I found out my job prospects. Thank you, Randy.
The only people complaining about the length of time is the journalists who cover it. It's not coming from the fans. So, anyways, that was my grant, and I was hoping you would be on our side as a fan, Paul. So, thank you very much.
I am on your side, John, and I think that's an important – and I'm kidding, of course. But the commercials are part of the game, but that's not – You can speed the game up if you make it more like the NFL. Did you see what Matt Jones did? Did you see the tweet he put out? It's getting a lot of attention. I think this came out tonight. Yeah, Kentucky follows us tonight against Vanderbilt, and he put out a tweet. We can't put it on the screen because it has a word in there. But he said, if Kentucky wins tonight, Cats are locked into the 3 seed in the sex tournament, SCX. That means the late game on Friday. I guess he meant SEC, didn't he?
Probably.
Yeah, late Friday night. So Kentucky's obviously playing in a different tournament next week, according to Matt Jones, yeah, than the one we will be at.
That was in Vegas.
The sex tournament.
Yes.
Maybe they'll do well in that, too. They're on a run at the moment. I-Man is up next.
Well, let me ask you something, Paul. At the sex tournament, does Mike Price get to jump up and holler, "It's rolling, baby! It's rolling!"
I'm glad you mentioned Mike Price. I wonder if he's still alive. It's one of those names that we, and the reason I bring it up, we are knocking on the door in April of the 20th anniversary of his night out in Pensacola.
How many checks did he actually cash other than the one that where they paid him off? How many weekly, monthly, how do they get paid? Weekly, monthly, what?
By the way, we checked. He is still alive.
Oh, yeah. Where are they now? What are they doing? What are them
rascals? Is there like a website, Dead or Alive? Remember that? Yeah. We used to play that game back in the day.
You know, where are they now? What would they be doing if they didn't have to leave where they were? That's an amazing question. You know, Paul, you said you couldn't put that text up because it had a word in it. Is it a word that Nick Saban doesn't use? Because he damn near uses all of them. He shows no pity to a word. He don't care if it's 3 letters, 5 letters, or 27 letters.
I knew ultimately we'd get back to Nick Saban.
Nick Saban's going to say that word. He's good at them, too. He's
Jimmy
good at saying them.
Somewhere there's a woman to blame with I-Man. It's always Nick Saban.
Well, you know, Nick Saban's so good at saying them words, he's better than Alec Murdaugh line.
Nick Saban, I knew it would happen. I knew before this case goes to the jury that you would try to link Nick Saban to the Murdaugh trial.
How did you know that?
I
didn't even know it till just
now.
Are
we sure Nick Saban wasn't by the kennel?
it was a second shooter.
It looked like him. I mean, I can't say for sure because it was nighttime.
Let me say this.
And there were a bunch of Mongols barking, but it could have been Nick Saban.
Well, let's say this, Paul. Nick Saban sure does favor Cousin Eddie. What kind of guy is Cousin Eddie? Hey, man, what are you doing tomorrow at 2 or 3 o'clock? I need you to ride by and shoot me in the head and kill me. You can do it? Well, hell yeah, let's do it. What kind of, that's an amazing story. And so you're going to shorten the football game, and we're going to do all these with times, and then guess what they did? They created targeting, which is the longest break in the, you can sell damn coffee, you can sell land in Tahiti, and you can sell 2 different manufacturers worth of cars in the timeout looking at targeting. Have a good day.
I don't know if I can have a good day after that call. Poor I-Man. I mean, he wakes up in the morning hating Nick Saban, goes to bed hating Nick Saban. Does he even know that Auburn has Hugh Freeze?
Deserves some hate.
I guess he doesn't know that. Coy is up next.
Yeah, I don't think Hugh Freeze is going to do a whole lot to help him, to be honest with you.
No.
But, you know, if you'll steal money from a quadriplegic or your nanny's children, who one of them was mentally impaired, you will definitely kill your wife and kids, is all I got to say, since he just brought that up to my attention.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Did I hear this correctly? Did Murdoch play football at South Carolina? I'm just trying to find an SEC connection. That's all. I'm sorry.
You know,
I don't know if he did or
not.
I guess I could watch the trial, but. Is this call continuing or is it over? I think it's over. We'll take a short break. We have Dave Matter on the other side of this break to talk about Missouri football. They're opening up camp this week.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And welcome back to our show. Great to have you with us. And we have not talked too much about Missouri football in a while, but they are opening up camp this week. And no one better to talk to than our friend Dave Matter from the St. Louis paper. Dave, thank you. It's been way too long. But then again, let's be honest, there hasn't really been much to talk about with Mizzou, has there? Good afternoon.
It's been a lot of 500 seasons for Missouri, going back really their last two coaching staff. So there hasn't been a whole lot of it's kind of one step forward, one step back with this program, it seems like, for a while now.
Well, tell us what is going on, especially at the quarterback position.
Yeah, and that's really the big story for Missouri this offseason. They kind of got the defense fixed last year. They bring back all of their staff. Most of their defensive personnel is all back. They hired a new offensive coordinator in Kirby Moore from Fresno State, but who's going to be the quarterback? So they went out and they got a transfer, Jake Garcia, former top 50 prospect who spent last year at Miami and got into some games. But they've got Sam Horn, a true freshman. He got into one game last year, four-star guy that they really think has a bright future. And then they've got Brady Cook, who was their starter every game last year and was okay. You know, not great. Wasn't an all-SEC quarterback, but he's got experience. But he's coming off shoulder surgery. He had surgery right after the season. So eventually they hope to have a real competition between the three of them. But for right now, Garcia's the only one throwing because Sam Horn, really interesting situation. He's a two-sport guy. You don't hear about these many more, but he came to Mizzou to play baseball and football, and he's been pitching with the baseball team. Hit 97 on the radar gun last weekend, last two outings he's had. But he came out of a game Saturday night with some pain in his forearm. They kind of dodged a bullet because they say it's only a forearm strain. He's not going to pitch for a while, but he is out there for football practice right now. Very, very kind of dicey situation. You know, pitching injuries, you don't want to mess with those. And he's obviously, as a quarterback, is going to have to throw the football. So we'll see how that all unfolds here over the next few weeks.
Dave, we had a guest this week that mentioned it. I think almost every guest, when you talk about Missouri, has mentioned Eli Drinkwitz and his contract extension. It seemed odd from a distance. I'm not there. I realized trying to build continuity, trying to keep things moving in the right direction. But I don't know if we've spoken to you since he got it. And in case we have, let's talk about it again. What was the thinking behind it?
Yeah, the timing was a little strange. It was mid-season, and they were just having a so-so season, which is how it ended up. They added 2 years to his contract, and they bumped his salary 50% from $4 million to $6 million. And at the time, it seemed kind of jarring, like 50% raise for a 500 coach. Well, and then you step back, and all these other coaches get their extensions and get their raises. He actually now is ranked lower in the SEC for head coaching salary than he was at the time before he got the raise. So I guess it's all kind of relative. You know, his buyout's a little bit more pricey, but I think with that kind of raise, and this was driven by the board of curators at the university. The athletic department was on board with it, but it was driven by the curators. They wanted to make the investment in him because they believe in him. But with that kind of raise, I think it does, you know, heighten the expectations for him now. I don't 500 is just not going to cut it going forward, I don't believe. When you're paying your head coach this much, which is more than any Missouri coach has ever made in any sport. And he's aware of that. He said that after he got the extension. You know, I realize that the expectations are going to go up now. You know, he's got the resources that he wants. They enhanced his staff salary pool so he could go out and get an offensive coordinator for the first time. He's not going to, you know, run the offense by himself like he has the last 3 years. So there are some changes about and you know, some those added resources, I do think puts more pressure on him to win at a higher level than he has.
Dave, if you do know, share with us, what is his buyout?
It's kind of complicated. It's his base salary for what years he has left. It would be, you know, if they should get rid of him after this year, it would be like in the teens as far as millions go. But there is, you know, there's an offsetting clause to wherever he works next. You know, that salary would be taken out of the buyout. It's not enormous by SEC standards by any means. Missouri is making more money in SEC revenue and athletics revenue than they've ever made before. They actually reported a surplus this year for the first time in like 6 years. So it's big. It's not SEC big, if you want to put it that way.
By the way, we'll go over the schedule in a moment. I am curious because now that Texas is coming in, everyone seemingly had a couple of scrapes with Texas back in the day. Dave, how do folks at Missouri feel about that?
Well, I didn't love the way that Texas kind of just took over the Big 12 and the addition of the Longhorn Network when they were putting the high school games on there featuring recruits that everybody in the Big 12 was recruiting. And Gary Pinkel, to his credit, he had enough cachet at that point where he was pretty outspoken about it. He was probably one of the most outspoken coaches in the Big 12 at the time saying, hey, this isn't right. Like, why is one team in this conference where we're supposed to be equals all of a sudden in charge of things and getting their say on how things go? So there was some tension there for sure. I mean, him and Mack Brown got along great, but there was definitely tension. And I think some of that, you know, animosity, tension, however you want to describe it, really did fuel Missouri to look around and say, is this really the best place for the university as far as conferences go? And, you know, had Texas not been the ones in Oklahoma, too. I mean, Oklahoma president at the time was the one talking about maybe joining the Pac-12 or Pac-10, whatever it was back then, that, you know, gave Missouri kind of the wandering eye to look around, first at the Big Ten and then eventually how things worked out at the SEC. So there's not a lot of bad blood there, but fans definitely, you know, aren't big Texas fans in Missouri, put it that way.
Dave, before you go, I do want to talk about the schedule. It has Kansas State, Memphis, and obviously the complement of SEC schools. So as we'll take a look at it again, LSU at home, at Kentucky, South Carolina at home, at Georgia, Tennessee at home, Florida at home, at Arkansas. You can slice and dice it any way you want. But what do you make out of that schedule and in terms of how you think this team will fare?
Yeah, you know, it's not easy. There's no such thing as an easy SEC schedule. I think it's probably manageable, maybe more than if you're playing in the West. This year at least, but Missouri's never beaten Georgia under Drinkwitz. They've never beaten Tennessee. They've never lost to South Carolina. So even though I think Shane Beamer's got his program maybe ahead of schedule compared to where Missouri is right now, Drinkwitz is undefeated against the Gamecocks. At some point they got to break through and beat Kentucky again. They beat him his first year, but they've lost the last 2 years. That game is always close and competitive. K-State's that they got pounded in Manhattan last year, but that game is in Columbia this year, and maybe K-State's not as good as they were a year ago when they won the Big 12. Desiree Reed-Francois, give her credit. She did a good work moving that Memphis game. That game was supposed to be in Memphis, and she got it moved to St. Louis, where at least it's on more of a neutral site. You'll have a lot of Missouri fans downtown in the Dome to see that one. So, they've got to make some headway. I mean, 6-6, 3 years in a row in the regular season, 4 years if you go back to Barry Odom's last year. At some point, you got to see this program turn the corner and have a winning season in the regular season, and then you just let whatever happens in bowl games. I mean, half the team doesn't play in bowl games these days, but the regular season, I think it's time that, you know, to expect Missouri to make some progress and be something more than just 6-6.
It would be nice. Dave Matter joining us from the St. Louis paper. Thank you very, very much. We head to the break. More on the Jalen Carter news of earlier today. We'll talk to Nicole Auerbach about what it's like inside a committee on infraction hearing and your phone calls.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And welcome back. Mac is up next in Colorado. Hello, Mac.
Hi, Bones. Thank you for taking my call. Roll Tide.
Thank you.
I just want to do a little shout-out here to CB from Tuscaloosa, who would kindly cancel the entire basketball season because of Brandon Miller. Man, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my whole life. Another shout-out goes to Brandon in Arkansas, who wants to hold him accountable. As you so eloquently said, no charges are going to be filed against the kid. You know, man, he's gone through enough this season. Leave him alone. He's innocent until proven guilty, period. Period. I don't know what else to say about it. I want to put this thing to bed. I want to be the last caller about Brandon. Who's the guy that takes your calls? Is his name Kevin?
Well, Mac, thank you. And whether you will be or not is an open question. Rabbit is up next in Alabama. Hey, Rabbit.
How you doing, Mr. Feinbaum?
Rabbit, thank you. We're doing great.
All right. To go to the point of what did they do wrong? I mean, they can't prove nothing.
Well, Rabbit, this is not a. There's more to the story than criminal charges. I think it's the question that some of the critics are saying is: did he violate team rules? Did he violate a code of conduct? Clearly the officials are not going to charge him But is that all there is to it? Is the question that school officials have been asking. Obviously, they're pretty comfortable with what their answers were.
Yes, sir. I just don't understand why what the man done. He didn't do nothing. He's a man now. He ain't no kid no more.
You're right about that. I agree.
Man, he's a grown man. And he was
old.
Just, yeah, he being a young man. He's a young man, you know. I'm 61. I live, breathe, and sleep Alabama football.
Yes, sir. Me too.
And I pretty much anything Alabama. But what? It's because we good at everything we do. Gymnastics, football, basketball, you know, track. If people don't like us for some reason.
Do you feel that rabbit about, do you feel that living, where do you live in Alabama?
I live in Childersburg, right across the Coosie River Bridge.
Oh, sure. Childersburg.
You know,
Childersburg
that old Shelby County.
Yeah.
Shelby County, come in Tyler County. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I used to live in Shelby County. So you go down Childersburg, and then there's Silicaga as you work your way down 280, right?
Yes, sir. That's right.
No other material.
I work in Buffett, where I graduated high school. I'm 61 years old.
Yes, sir.
I live late, and I love football, basketball. I like Auburn when they ain't playing Alabama, you know.
Yeah. Well, I hear you. Well, listen, I'm glad to hear from you from Childersburg, great city. Thank you for the call. And Robert is in Pennsylvania.
Good afternoon, sir. Thank you for bringing up the subject of code of conduct, because that's a topic that we don't hear about. In any of the articles that I've read or watched. But from what I understand, every player and every coach has to sign a code of conduct, and that would include behaviors on and off the court. One criticism I had from the coach when he said in his initial comments about how he has no control over what players do off the court, to me, that's a violation of the code of conduct right then and there. And whenever you look at players' behaviors off the court, one needs to ask, is this behavior going to bring pride to the university or embarrassment to the university? And that's my comment on the matter. I defer everything else to you. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, Robert. You be well. You take care of yourself. George is up next. Hello, George.
Hey, Mr. Feinbaum, how are you doing?
We are doing well. Thank you for calling.
It's a beautiful day in Alabama.
I'm glad to hear that.
And, you know, the only problem I have with this mess with Brandon Miller is everybody's got an opinion. But nobody's opinion matters except for the university. They handle the discipline. They handle their players. And everybody's mad and upset and wants to force them to do something. That's just stupid. They shouldn't base their response to this on anything except what they know and how they feel about it. And everybody else just needs to learn to deal with it.
George, you're right, and the university doesn't really seem to care right now what anyone else thinks. Correct. William in Maryville, Tennessee, is up next.
Hello, Paul. Did you anticipate when you started this show you'd become a forum for social justice issues?
I was just trying to get on the air today. That was our main goal.
Well, you know, talking about Jalen Carter for a second, and you know, this has got to be very painful for the families of Ms. LaCroix and Mr. Willick that died. But you know, the fact that she was driving 104 miles an hour and had a blood alcohol content of almost 0.2 in a university vehicle, and then you know the issue with Carter, certainly nothing's come out about what his blood alcohol content was if he was, you know, if it was tested, you know, was he at the strip club with them? But, you know, he's charged with two misdemeanors, and I think one's reckless driving and one is street racing. You know, misdemeanor generally means a crime that you serve less than 1 year in county jail as opposed to something over 1 year in you know, in the state penitentiary. You know, the concerning thing to me is that he left the scene, he lied to the police, and I just wonder why they have not tried to, you know, in other street racing scenes, they'll charge everybody if there's a homicide. So, you know, that's yet to be seen, but
Hey, could I ask you this, William, because I haven't gotten an answer from anybody yet. There's some dispute about whether or not he left the scene, and in a potential DUI case, how critical would that be?
Oh, I think leaving the scene in a potential DUI case, and I think, you know, the fact that he, you know, that he lied, supposedly, allegedly lied about whether they were racing and said he was a mile away. Now, maybe her wreck, maybe she went ahead of him and had the wreck on down the road, and they can't tie the racing, you know, specifically to the wreck or the death to the racing. But I think that'd be very critical. But you know, Paul, taking a second to look at this a little bit different, and you've spoken to this in regard to the Alabama situation. You know, Alabama, there were 8 shots fired. 8 people could have been hit. 8 people could have been killed. 1:45 in the morning. In the Georgia situation, driving 100 plus miles an hour, luckily it was probably 3:00 in the morning, and nobody innocent was killed. And this is, you know, Paul, there's 2 parts to a crime. And I learned this lesson the hard way, because almost 50 years ago, I represented an old boy in Monroe, North Carolina, who was accused of threatening to blow up a bank. Now, this old boy didn't have a bomb, probably needed instructions to blow up a balloon, and I argued that it was a victimless crime to one of the most liberal district court judges in America. And the judge, who's a lot smarter than I was, handed me my head, and he said, "Son, when that phone call was made, a lot of law enforcement racing at high speeds with blue lights, with guns at the ready, headed to a particular location where this bank was." And he pointed out to me the unintended consequences of events. And I think we've missed this a little bit here, because, you know, you've got a lot of callers like Larry that were former law enforcement. And I'd love for them to validate what I'm, you know, fixing to say, which is that there's the crime, and then there's the public safety element of the reaction to the crime. And you know, unintended bad consequences happen to innocent people, happen to good kids. Good kids make bad decisions. You know, a lot's been said about Brandon Miller being only 20 years old. Well, you know, a lot of 18-year-olds have died in combat, and some have won the Medal of Honor. So I don't buy that. But kids do make bad decisions, but they need to be taught by their parents, grandparents, and other adults in their life that there are unintended consequences that they don't factor into their bad decisions.
William, thank you. We're up against a break. We have a long way to go here on what's been a very busy Wednesday afternoon. Stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And we continue. Ernest is up next in Georgia. Good afternoon, Ernest.
Good afternoon. I really wanted to make a comment about the situation at Georgia. But first, when you're talking about, you know, people trying to shorten games like football or baseball, and I'm 81 years old, and I've been keeping up with Georgia. I graduated from Georgia. I enjoy watching sports, and it's never been a problem with me how long they are, unless they're sorry. If a game is one-sided, I don't care if it's 30 minutes long, it's too long. But if it's a good game and it's close, it can go on forever, because the longer it goes, the better it is. So what do they complain about? Just turn the TV off. It's not any good, or leave. But to try to shorten it, when it's good, it's good. And when it ain't, no matter how long it is. But going back to Georgia, I was really disappointed when I heard about what happened when that girl and football player got killed. I was real disappointed. But today I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed that it seemed like they tried to cover up some of it and didn't come out and tell stuff that should have been made known right away. Like they said, they didn't They didn't know if she was speeding. They knew she was speeding. She was doing 104. And they didn't know if they'd been drinking or were drunk. They'd been to a bar. My God, who goes out at 2 o'clock in the morning and it's up no good? I'm really disappointed, ashamed. I'm ashamed that the school has allowed this to happen to some extent. And the city of Athens is allowed to have it. And all these old bars. But let me just say this, too. You hire a 24-year-old recruit, female recruit. Yeah, I don't know, but to me that just seems a little bit asinine. But anyway, I just want to say I'm real disappointed, and maybe we'll get over it. But I'm not proud of Kirby right now. I would give back that national championship to have these people's lives back. It wasn't worth it. Thank you, him.
Blake is up next. Good afternoon, Blake. Thank you for calling.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I just want to tell everybody who's sitting around waiting on Alabama to do the right thing with this Brandon Miller case. Remember back during the football season, they had on tape Jermaine Burton punching a Tennessee fan and never missed a practice or anything. So waiting for Alabama to do the right thing and step up, it's never going to happen. Thanks for taking my call, Paul.
Will is up next. Good afternoon, Will.
Hey, Paul, I just want to say I agree with Blake. They ain't going to do the right thing. But by God, I just want to call a spade a spade. What is the state witness? If you out with your buddy and y'all hanging out, and y'all doing something, and one of your buddies go back and tell on you, what is that called? It's a snitch. That's what Brandon Miller is. He's a snitch, and he's no good.
Yeah, I don't think we've ever had three calls in a row where I was speechless at the end of all three. Do you feel the same way?
Yeah. What are you going to say? There's nothing to say.
Myth is up next. Hey, Myth.
Hey, what's going on, Paul? How you doing?
Fantastic.
Hey, I was going to talk to you a little bit. Heard about the Ziegler kid getting hurt down in Tennessee. That's a bad deal for Tennessee. I know they rely on him a lot. I'm going to tone it down a little bit today since I ain't heard from Legend. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he'll be here.
Yeah, I know he will. So my question is I read a little bit about the kid getting the warrants. I hate that. You know, these kids going through college. One of my other questions is the Brandon Miller kid, do you think this is going to hurt him with his, recruit, like far as getting drafted one or maybe Naismith player of the year? Because, he is a top five player.
Myth, I think those are two separate issues. I do think it will hurt him in terms of awards, which just shows you how, you have to vote for the player. You can't get caught up in all this other stuff, although everyone does. But I do not believe, based on what we know now, it's going to affect his draft stock. For this reason, not only will every NBA club looking at him do a complete due diligence on this, and we're talking FBI investigations, whatever they can get there. They will also interview him, and they'll have a comfort level on whether they feel like he's the right choice or not. So I think the same thing is applicable to Jalen Carter. I think if this had happened on the Wednesday of the NFL draft in 7 or 8 weeks, it would have been devastating. Remember Tunsil a couple of years ago with what happened during the draft. But I think by the time we get to the draft at the end of April, I don't think there will be too many issues remaining here. I don't know which way it's going to go, but I think they'll have a good idea. Thank you for the call. We head to the final hour. Nicole Arabak will join us then. More of your phone calls as well.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.